Appendix 1. The Brothers. A sidebar. A word about Epimetheus and Prometheus. They were the sons of Clymene, Asia, and Iapetus, making them the younger brothers of sky-shouldering Atlas and thunderbolt-exploded Menoetius. It is generally held that Prometheus means forethought, and Epimetheus, afterthought, from which it is usually inferred that Epimetheus blundered into things without considering consequences, while his elder, Prometheus, deliberated with more perspicacity. It might be convincingly argued that there was nothing especially cautious, forward-thinking, or prescient about Prometheus's actions in bringing fire to man. It was impulsive, generous, loving even, but not especially wise. Epimetheus was a kindly, well-disposed individual also, and his failings were only, I was going to say human, but that can hardly be right, for he was a titan. His failings were certainly titanic in their consequences. The perceived difference between the brothers is used to this day by philosophers to express something fundamental about us all. In Plato's dialogue Protagoras, the title character suggests a creation myth somewhat different from the traditionally accepted one. At one time, so Protagoras tells Socrates, there being only immortals in the world, the gods decided to populate nature with new strains of mortal life. Out of earth and water, and with divine fire and divine breath, they created animals and man. They charged Prometheus and Epimetheus with the task of allocating to these creatures all the attributes and characteristics that would enable them to live fulfilled and successful lives. Epimetheus said he would do the distributing, and Prometheus could come and check up on his work. This the brothers agreed upon. Epimetheus set to with a will. He gave armour to some animals, the rhinoceros, the pangolin, and the armadillo, for instance. To others, almost at random it seemed, he handed out heavy weatherproof fur, camouflage, venom, feathers, tusks, talons, scales, claws, gills, wings, whiskers, and goodness knows what else. He assigned speed and ferocity. He apportioned buoyancy and airworthiness. Every animal was fitted out with its own cleverly designed and efficient speciality. From navigational skills to expertise in burrowing, nest-building, swimming, leaping, and singing. Epimetheus was just congratulating himself for providing the bats and dolphins with echolocation when he realized that this had been the very last of the available gifts. He had, with his characteristic lack of foresight, completely omitted to consider what he would parcel out to man, poor, naked, vulnerable, smooth-skinned, two-legged man. Epimetheus went guiltily to his brother and asked what they should do now that there was nothing left in the bottom of the gift basket. Man had no defences with which to arm himself for the cruelty, cunning, and rapacity of these now superbly provisioned animals. The very powers that had been lavished on the beasts would surely finish off weaponless mankind. Prometheus's solution was to steal the arts from Athena and flame from Hephaestus. With these, man could use wisdom, wit, and industry to pit himself against the animals. He may not swim as well as a fish, but he could work out how to build boats. He may not run as swiftly as a horse, but he could learn to tame, shoe, and ride one. One day he may even construct wings to rival those of the birds. Somehow, by accident and error then, alone of all mortal creatures, man was given qualities from Olympus, not so that he could rival the gods, but so he could fend off the more perfectly equipped animals.